this one you mentioned about some assumption.
Assumption.
When you have our awareness, be careful about assumption. The question is how you can distinguish whether it's an assumption or that is real.
Knowing and assuming is very different. Knowing, you know very sure this is what it is. Assuming, you think it is something. It's just your thinking.
But how can you sometimes we think is thinking, but we thought is real, but it's not real.
That's how our thoughts about it are assumptions. Sometimes because we don't have enough information. Sometimes it's a wrong conclusion, wrong thought. Yeah, we think it's real, but it's not. But this is something that we will eventually learn. Yeah, but if we know something for sure, we understand, it's very clear.
Can we focus on our breath as the object?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what we always want to do. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, so then you want to be aware, but it's always because it's almost a concentration when you focus on your breath, or maybe a point.
Maybe a point.
Like, I mean, it seems like sometimes I focus on certain points, you know, the nostril. I mean, is that considered like more concentration? Is it okay to do that?
So you can take your breath as your object and you can be aware of it. And you will still develop samadhi. The only difference from before is you don't focus so much, and you don't try to forget other objects.
No, idea the kupya ma. Ah, you know what the kupya is? Just now, ah, you nagalan lo, mama mati chen, da wei du, da mei. Ah, idea piao gai.
So,
tao ta ayon yubi lo tadi xiao ni mei bin. Just now, ti lu ya la de ayon gong la kan.
Yeah. So you start by being aware of your breath continuously. But when you notice other objects coming in, you allow yourself to notice them. Before, you try to ignore them, but now you don't try to ignore them. You allow your mind, but you stay on the breath. But you know that you know different things also. For example, he says, you're watching your breath, and you know sound. You're watching your breath, and you know sound, and you know thinking. You're watching your breath, you know? So you just accept that other things are also known. When awareness gets better, you'll know one thing, but you'll also notice that many other things are being known. And this is a sign that awareness is becoming better. So it's just a little change of ideas that in the way we practiced before, when we are paying attention to one object, we try not to know anything else. But now you also include the knowing of other things.
I had a question about, in knowing, does one let go of the knowing rather than to accumulate as though one would accumulate knowledge from a perspective of ego? You know, just knowing and letting go, is that part of the process of understanding and letting go?
Not in the way you're saying.
Okay. Let me reframe it.
Hold on. Love up your list about ီးတာတွေဟုတ်တယ်တီးပင်လှုပ်ချတီးပင်လှုပ်ချတပြောစဉ်းစားတီးပင်မလှုပ်ချလို့မမရဘူးတီးတာပျောက်သွားပြီဒါပေမဲ့ तू ကပြောရဲ ego အနေနဲ့တဲ့ ego ကဟိုဥပမာဟိုအသိပညာတွေစုတယ်လို့ပဲတီးတာကိုစုတာလားဒါပေမဲ့အရှိန်အတွက်ဒီဟာ तू ကသူဖြစ်နေတာအဲ့တဘောကကုနာမလဲ
အရှိတာကကိုလှုပ်ချမှာကိုလို့မဟုတ်တဘောကက तू ကသူလာမယ် तू ကသူသွားမယ်တကယ်လို့လှုပ်ချနေဆိုတဲ့အိပယ်ကသူ့ပုံမှာမတုံ့ပြန်တာ
မ
တုံ့ပြန်ရင်တဉဏ်ရှိမှရတဉဏ်ရဲ့အလို့ဒါလူရဲ့အလို့မဟုတ
် Okay so letting go is something that's not done by you letting go is something that happens naturally in any case in any moment you can't hold on to anything you're aware and then awareness just you're aware the mind arises it goes away awareness comes it goes then you have to be aware again it'll go aware again it'll go. You cannot sustain awareness in a like a existing way you have to bring it in again and again right so but letting go is not done by you Seattle says also the meaning of letting go means that you're not reacting to something anymore when you do not have a preference for something either way it means that you have let go of your desire to have something in a particular way when there's no longer any delusion or greed or aversion then the mind has already let go but that's the work of wisdom so we don't try to let go because anyway we can't try to let go we can't do it
so yogi le do let go ta kha le mi ya ta kha le mi ya a ba pi lo le
yogi
ama a tu ye sait a wa mu di ya tu ta di pa nyan a kaung ne chin ya le nyan a kaung ne chin ma ya le nyan a ne le chin ma ya lo
yogi sometimes say they try to let go and sometimes they can and sometimes they can't and they don't understand why it's because it depends onwhat they understand at that time so when there's more understanding there's more letting go when there's less understanding there's less letting go
now to go lulu ba ngan a lut ne lo thain na ma nyan a lut
yeah so we think that when we are able to let go that we let go but actually we didn't do that understanding the need da ma shin phya guna le ko wa da ma shin phya pyo le lo chin na re phit chin na re ba ba nyan nya re ya
shwe kha
le so le လူချလိုက်ပါဆိုတော့ဒီလိုလက်ကိုဆိုရဲ
တကယ်ထဲလိုက်ရတယ်အဲဒါတော့တန်းတယ
်ဟ
ိုဒါဆိုတော့ဘာမေးဆက်တမားရီရတော့ရှော့ပါရရှော့
ပါရ
ရှော့ချလိုက်ရလက်လုပ်ခိုင်း
Yeah so
Okay ဟုတ်ဘူးသူတန်းတယ
် Still in the same subject can I have
sorry
still in the same subject can you explain more
you're in the second group Sorry. You're in the second group. You have to wait.
First group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
In the first group.
First group.
Yeah.
I just want to share this, my experience this morning. So it's... And I just need some advice. Is I practice this right? When I do the walking meditation outside, and the wind is so strong, and the impinge to the on the body sense, and at that moment, the feeling of the corners arise, and.
Feeling of what arise?
The coldness.
Oh, coldness, okay.
Yes, arise. And at that moment, there was an understanding of the rupa and dhamma, rupa and nama. And so it's just the whole process is arise. So I understand that there is just the process of nama and rupa at work so and then at the same time so I can hear the sounds can feel the touching from with the body sense on the floor so so at the each moment there is one citta function at each moment. So the understanding is nobody is doing the work, just the mind and the matter at that moment.
အပြင်သွားတော့အေးတယ်အဲ့အေးတာ तू သဘောပေါက်တဲ့ညာတစ်ခုဖြစ်တယ်အဲ့သူကယုံနာဖြစ်နေဖြစ်စင်လို့သဘောပေါက်တယ်အဲ့ဒါမှမဟုတ် तू ကဘလို့ထပ် तू ပြောလဲဆိုတော့ယုံနာကြီးပဲဆိုတော့ तू ကအတန်ကြားတယ်ခန္ဓာကိုယ်ခံစားမှုရှိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့စိတ်ကတစိတ်ပြီးတစိတ်တစ်ချိန်မှာတစိတ်ပဲအလုံးလုံးတယ်လို့ तू အဲ့လိုပြောတယ်ဒါယုံနာအလုံးလုံးတယ်လို့ပြောတ
ယ်စိတ်ကတစိတ်ချင်းတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးဒါက तू ကတတိညာအမ်းကောင်းနေတော့ဟေ့နည်းနည်းမသိသေးလို့တစ်ခုတစ်ခုလို့ခင်ရတကယ်သိတာများလာရင်စိတ်တွေအများကြီးဖြစ်လာ
တယ် mind does not arise one citta at a time in our experience the theory is that it's one mind after another but in our experience in one second there's trillions and trillions of minds so it is impossible to experience one citta after one citta but because the mind cannot understand this enough it thinks that what it experiences grossly in a moment is one citta, but it's not. It's actually already trillions and trillions of citta.
So is the mindfulness is just rarely arise, right? So like the mindfulness, so like we just have the mindfulness is not too many mindfulness because we cannot pick up all the citta arise.
I think nine dollar we think look. What?
ตัวตะดีอ่ะมาหลอกโหแน่ๆๆๆไปติโลผิดแต่สิทธิ์มันเนี่ยอกลงไม่ติไหนน่ะล่ะ
เอ้ยบ่ไม่ติไหนดีวะคร
ับแต่พญาญาณไม่ชื่อโหตะดีอ่ะติล่ะหมูญาณอ่ะ
ญาณก็ติล่ะนี่ถูกป่ะกูสิทธิ์กูติล่ะญาณติเลยだแม้อ้าไม่ชื่อดีတော့อันตรายไม่ติน่ะ
Yeah it's not the awareness it's the wisdom and our wisdom cannot know one mind at a time that only the buddha,
buddha
can do
buddha understanding this is a buddha affair we cannot experience like that much so but this is a theory
it's very rare so to for us to have a wisdom right it's for the whole time so just feel like per day so not the at the beginning if we try to be mindful but still we cannot mindful all the time right
တတိထားမှုစူးစမ်းပေမဲ့အများတတိမရှိဘူး။အဲညာကလည်းအများဖြစ်နေတာမဟုတ်
ဘူး။ဟာပေါ့ right.
Yeah. Right. We're not having wisdom all the time. Yeah.
ပထမမှာအဲစိတ်နည်းနည်းပါးပါးသိတာကိုသိတယ်လို့ပဲပေါ့
။ဒ
ါစိတ်တချို့လောက်သိတာပေါ့နော
်။ Yeah. But we just ပြောက်ပြီး
ပေါ်တယ်ပြောက်တယ်အဲ့တော့သိနိုင်တယ
်။ We can be content with how much we know. Yeah, we know a little bit. We just know that. That's okay.
Accumulate.
Yeah, slowly. Yeah, the potential of how much we know passes on. Yeah.
Mm.
Excuse me. I have a question about thinking mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be aware of when the thinking mind arrives.
Mm-hmm.
But like if the subject of the thinking mind is a complex one,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Such as like when meditation sometime, mm-hmm. The subject was like without teaching or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take a long time. So that time, do we have to remind ourselves being aware every 5 seconds, every 5 minutes, or let it take it close?
အတွေ့အကြောင်းသူမေးတယ်သူကစိတ်ကတွေးရင်တတိထားမယ်ဆိုတော့ဥပမာကိုအရှိန်တွေးမဲ့ဟာတခုခုဆိုရင်လည်းဥပမာကိုကဖျားစာတခုခုတတိရလို့ဒီဟာကိုစဉ်းစားမယ်ဆိုရင
်
ဒီဟာကိုကအာ5 second တခါ50အဲ့လိုမျိုးတတိထားရမလားလဲ
သူကစဉ်းစားခြင်းအချိန်မှာစဉ်းစားတရားထိုင်နေတာမဟုတ်ဘူးစဉ်းစားခြင်းနေဆိုတွေးခြင်းနဲ့လို့ဟို contemplate လုပ်ခြင်းနေဆိုရစဉ်းစားလို့ရဒါကိုကြွန့်ခြင်းရင်တော့ရတီးလည်းတီးလည်းတွေးလည်းတွေးတယ်အဲ့လိုဆိုရအောင်မဟုတ်ရင်တွေးနေအတိပျောက်ပျောက်သွားတော် invert ထည့်လိုက်ရင်တော့အတိပျောက်သွားကိုယ်တတိကိုထိန်းထားခြင်းလည်းဆိုနည်းနည်းလို့အလေးချင်းလုပ်ပြရ
Yeah Seattle says if you want to maintain your mindfulness Seattle says you How should I start this? So Sierra said, if you're not meditating, you want to think about something. Okay, like say the Buddha's teachings, you want to think about something and you just want to be contemplating something, Sierra says, and you're not trying to be aware. Yeah, you're not trying to be aware, Sierra says, then yeah, you. But if you want to be aware of the mind while it is thinking, Sierra says, it needs to be, you need to have a lot of skill at recognizing that mind is mind. Then only
object. The mind is object.
Mind is object. Then only, then although the mind is thinking, you can be aware while the mind is thinking. So awareness continuous and mindfulness and thinking continuous. But if you are not that skillful, you want to train the mind, Sayadaw says, then at least on retreat and all, you don't allow the mind to contemplate so much, like purposely. Like you don't let yourself think too much. If the mind thinks by itself, you recognize the thinking off and on. So you recognize, you go back to your bodily object, you recognize, go back to your bodily object like this. But so you alternate. You don't watch continuously.
Right. So what you is that correct me if I'm wrong. What you say, like this kind of subject is elaborate, it go for a long time. But while doing meditation, we're still aware of our mind is thinking while this teaching.
Yeah.
Then we go and then we remind ourselves that it's teaching. That is okay.
Hello. Atom as we Sikale Dasin Zanre, so Machakana the deep yama or Dasin Zanre. Yes, so you just acknowledge over and over again.
And so, just a follow up question. Is there a difference between object and subject?
There's no subject. We don't talk about subjects. We only talk about the object. There's object and knowing. Object and knowing. Mm. So there's knowing and known. Object is whatever is being known.
So the object is it, can we say or assume that the object is one of the six senses?
Yes, object is any of the six senses.
Is any of the six senses, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So mind is included.
You want to order chopper? Okay. Not cool, I do it, I do it, I do it.
When we are being aware, you can also notice that while we are being aware, while we are paying attention, the mind is also thinking. The mind is thinking about how to be aware, what it's aware of. The mind is always saying something, and that helps the awareness. Yeah, this kind of thinking, it's thinking about how to be aware, it supports the awareness. Because when you think about how to be aware, what to be aware of, the mind's attention goes there. So this sort of thinking is helpful for practice.
Several years ago, I read The Life of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
From Thich Nhat Hanh.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found in this retreat in particular is the benefit of Buddha. And when the teacher has spoken to remember the benefits of the Buddha.
Of awareness.
Of the awareness of the benefits of the Buddha of one's life, one's changing.
What do you mean when you say Buddha?
The Buddha?
Yes.
Well, I read the Life of the Buddha.
Okay.
Okay.
What do they refer to it as?
Well,
I don't know what you're talking. When I think of the Buddha, I'm just thinking of the,
oh,
the Buddha. I'm not thinking of something
metaphorical. I read when he was living in the palace,
mm-hmm.
when he decided to renunciate
mm-hmm.
and go search for his enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So as I sit down and meditate,
mm-hmm.
many of the facets of the meditation
mm-hmm.
is just focused on his life. Sometimes in that I forget about myself. And I find much more comfort in thinking about what his purpose was and how his purpose lives today.
Okay.
And
I
how
understand what you mean.
We are part of that purpose in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So some way that has helped me to deal with my own sense of defilements, my own sense of skepticism.
Okay.
So I just wanted to relate that experience.
Okay. To what? Paya jang, paya ye. Pop. Boa jang to pop pura. To what? To what? She paya. A jo. The dear jo look pura. To a paya ye jo pura. To a blue pura. Let me see pia ba. So to pura. To a paya ye. Boa jang pop pura. Paya ye. บาเลมินดาผิดเด้พี่รอถั่วเด้พี่รอตูโจซ่าเด้ตูโหเต็มเป้เด้ดาริซึ้งซ่าเองเนี่ยตูอ่ะโหตูดีหาริซึ้งซ่าเองตุกกูตูไม่เด้คะนะตุกกูตูคะนะไม่รอตูพยาอาจารย์ซึ้งซ่าอ่ะปู่ตัดตาเด้โกจองเตียราแท้นับบ่รอพยามาโหมาอโจเป้แค่ราเลยอกูแลอโจเป้นี่แหละเออตูอ่ะอกูชื่อเด้พยาอ่ะอโจเป้อกูแลอโจเป้ซอ
เนี่ยติงเกล่ะธรรมอ๋อตะยาบ่ตะยาอ่ะยောက်ล่ะบ่เออตัวอะเราพยาลงไปบ่เออเออแล้วพยาท้าแก่ไอ้โจเปรียอกุฐิตะยอมหมู่สิแล้วตัวอกูไอ้ตะยอมหมู่เดียวขันซ้าเนี่ยแหละอกุฐิที่ตุโอเคแล้วทวิจาจาโอ้กูอ่ะผิดแต่บ่อ่ะทุกข์ขึ้นยาอ่ะเออไอ้ห่าอูตูสิ้นซ้าบ่แล้วแน่ๆจีนูดาบ่อะตูติเปียจ้ะอ๋อเสียบ่ตะดาผิดตาบ่เสียตะดาก้าวอ่ะทุกข์ตะดาหลูตะดาแล้วหลูดา
So that's like faith, right? You have lots of
sadda.
Right. But don't think all day long.
No. Sometimes it just comes.
It just,
if I'm struggling with something,
I know.
He remembers his struggles.
Yeah.
It comes.
So, but remember to be mindful through that process. You can know that you're thinking, you can know what you feel as the thoughts come through.
Right.
You can learn about this mind and body as you do that, as you're mindful of that process.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think at the beginning of this sitting right here, I felt a lot of unpleasant feelings and sensations, because there was the, first of all, I always dreaded interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like, in the past, after the interviews, I always, I would be almost obsessed about the fact that I came across as deluded or self-satisfied. So that happened again at the beginning, but then when I felt the heart beating so fast, I remember there's a lot of dislike. What is the right attitude here? And I remember that we just accept it because this is not mine. This is a natural process. Once I accept it, I felt the mind calm down somewhat, and then I began to pay more attention to listening, because I felt that once I did that, I felt that it calmed the mind even further. And then I just noticed that when I listened, I remembered what Sadhguru advised about not just listening 100%, but still watching the reaction of the mind. And that calms the mind down even further. And then I just sat there and I realized that there was a sense of sitting back, and then I was aware of seeing, listening, hearing. I also understand what was being reported to Sayadaw. So that's my experience right now.
Do you feel that out of your life? ตัวดีอ่ะลาลาราจောက်တယ်တဲ့အရင်တော့ဆိုရင်
ဘယ်လိုသဘောထားရမလဲဆိုတာကအရင်ဆုံးသဘောထားမှားနေတာအရင်ရှင်းထုတ်တယ်သူကဒီသဘောထားမှားလို့
Seattle says, you asked what is the right attitude to bring in. Seattle says, first we need to recognize what are the wrong attitudes. Okay, so here there's fear, and all about the self, right? About the fear of looking a certain way or another way. And Seattle says, if we can see this, we recognize it and clear it by observing it. Seattle says then, without having to change our attitude, if we can deal with the wrong attitude, and there's no more wrong attitude, then it's just right attitude. And then it's just, you're here to just say what you do and get some feedback, that's all. When the defilements are no longer there, Seattle says, then wisdom can come in and tell you very clearly what needs to be done. What is interview for, Seattle said? It's very simple.
Interview, discussion.
Maybe we should call it an interview. We should just call it a discussion. You know, you tell Seattle what you are experiencing and see whether there's something, some feedback he can give you that would help you. That's all. Then you can ask him questions. If you have doubts, you can ask him questions so that you clarify your doubts. Yeah, the things that confuse our mind is just when the defilements are present, when the unwholesome stuff comes up.
I got a little confused about the awareness and the mind. I thought awareness is distinct than the mind. But the way you just said, the mind and awareness talks. So is the same thing or different? I think awareness is higher than
that.
So the mind is like a... the example we give is like the mind is like a ball with many little balls inside. And the mind is the whole thing. Awareness is one of the little... Well, awareness is five of the little balls inside. So every moment you are aware, five little balls light up. That's Sati, Samadhi, Virya, Sadda, and Panya. Do you know the four Namakanda? Are you familiar with the...
I just started listening to this with this meditation. So I'm new to this. Yeah. But I like the technique because it is very strong.
And
awareness is seen differently. It is a higher level than the mind. So it is part of our mind. It will confuse me. That's why.
Yeah, no, awareness is not. It's just, it is just another part of the mind. It is working in the mind. Yeah, but the defilements are also, the unwholesome states are also in the mind.
That's true.
Yeah. The mind is like a the mind is sometimes referred to as a stream of consciousness because it's like a stream or a river with many, many droplets inside, and every droplet is a mind. And each of them is going their own way, all together, and moment after moment. So, you know, you can never jump into the same river twice. It's like that. So
as you said it, that there is a mind, and there are five balls, say, for example, of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, slowly, they light up, and whole mind becomes awareful mind. That's the idea?
Without defilement. Mind process.
Mm.
I process pinning the system. I the deer quality, nyan quality, the money quality,
So let me explain like this. So there's one mind, okay? It arises. So this is the Buddhist cosmology. It arises, it is, and then it passes away. So in that moment, in that one moment, what do we choose to do with this mind? What do we allow to light up in the mind? Do we allow those five faculties to light up? Do we allow the defilements to... They could light up together. Okay, so every moment it arises, it is, and it passes away. When it passes away, how much is lighted up? It passes to the next one, to the sun that's going to... The next mind that's going to arise. Another ball with tons of little balls inside. And it passes its potential, or it gives a legacy, like a father giving his money to his son. It passes it to the next ball, which arises, and takes the potential, the power from the previous mind, which is gone, and it lights up. And then in that moment, when it is, you have one, there's a chance to put something in. Do we put in awareness in the moment? Do we put in wholesome things in the moment, or more unwholesome things in the moment? So we have some choices. Whatever we put in, again, this mind is and passes away, and that potential is passed to the next mind, which again is lighted up with different things. We put something in the moment it is, and then it passes away, and it so that's how it is. So because it's a stream of consciousness, when we, so like now we're being aware moment after moment, so each moment we're passing on more and more light to awareness. So in this ball, these five little balls that are awareness become brighter and brighter, because that's what we're practicing moment after moment. So that's what we're trying to do.
Aku do phin ni na sai yaw lo phin so defilement ga kirita po a kaung. Aku ga pyaw myan lo. Sai da ma kirita u phit tai phit tai ma pa ni.
Yeah. So in the Buddhist cosmology also, the defilements, the unwholesome states, they're actually fewer than the wholesome, but they are always present because of delusion. And it's like whether we are aware or not, delusion is always there. And so all is attendance. Attendant unwholesome states of mind are can always be present in some degree or the other. So we're trying to reverse this trend by bringing in awareness, because when sati is present, all the wholesome minds can become present.
Very nice.
If you watch your own mind now, as you go about the day, you will notice that everything you see, instantly you will like or dislike. You see someone, the mind already makes a judgment. You pass by, you see a door, your mind has already made it, you know, whether you like this aesthetic or not. We pass through the whole, at every moment our mind is making little judgments, little preferences, this, that, pulls, pushes, the whole day long. And you can notice some of this as you watch yourself all day long.
Yes, so we are made up of raga and aglesa, likes and dislikes, are continuously inbuilt, and that does not let the full awareness come out. Defilement holds back the awareness. So idea is to have more and more sati, so defilement gets down and whole thing becomes
the
full
idea
of sati.
The idea is to have more and more sati so that panya can arise, because only panya can put out the light of the defilements. Sati cannot make the defilements go down. It's panya that does it. So when panya is around, then the view changes. And it's delusion is wrong view. So when sati, when panya has right view, this ball changes. Yeah.
တတိကောင်းလာတယ်လို့လူတွေပြောတာအမှန်တတိနဲ့ညံနဲ့တွဲတွဲတာညံအားကောင်းလာလေဝိကတတိကောင်းတယ်လို့ပြောနေတ
ယ် Yeah so when we talk about you know awareness becoming stronger it's awareness means these five faculties working together and awareness when awareness is becoming stronger it actually means that the wisdom is becoming stronger in the five working together so then awareness and the wisdom is helping the through the awareness the wisdom is able to see better yeah
so in my meditation I should pay a lot of attention to getting wisdom
တရားအထုတ်တဲ့ညမှာတတိညာရဖို့အများကြီးတတိထားမလားအဲ့လိုလား
အများကြီးတော့မဟုတ်ပါဘူးသူလိုတလောက်ပေါ့ဘယ်လဲဘယ်ရမဖြစ်ဖြစ်ဘယ်လဲဆိုအသေးလောက်ရတာမဟုတ်ဘူးသူအကြောင်းပြည့်စုံလုပ်ပြန်အကြောင်းပြည့်စုံအကျိုးပေါ့
Unfortunately we cannot will wisdom to arise so so that's why we need to understand cause and effect everything is a set of conditions giving rise to effects and if we understand the conditions that make the arising of wisdom conducive we will fulfill the conditions and one of the conditions is to have sati so that's why we're trying to fulfill this condition so that wisdom is allowed to arise sati and wisdom so we try to fulfill the causes or the conditions we don't hope for the effects
so that means I have to also contemplate while I'm being aware
depends on what you're contemplating စဉ်းစားမယ်ပေါ့အလုံးစ
ဉ်းစားမယ်ဆုံးစမ်းတယ်ဆုံးစမ်းတယ်ပြောရပို့ရတယ်အဲ့
ဘာသတိထားရမလဲလို့အဲ့ဒါဘာစဉ်းစားရမလဲဆိုတာပို့ရကြည့်တယ် what do you want to come
no because I want to pay attention to my defilement I need to take it out or whatever I need to understand cause and effect to that extent I have to put the thinking to that
no
तू
ထင်တာဒီအကြောင်းကျိုးနားလည်ပို့လိုက်စဉ်းစားရမယ်လို့ထင်တာမဟုတ်
တိရမ
ယ် no We are doing the work of awareness, which is just observation. When you observe continuously and the mind has seen enough, wisdom will make the conclusion of what is cause and what is effect. Insight will arise.
And that's the work of wisdom.
That's the work of wisdom. That's insight, yeah.
Sinha lu jane wisdom, anit.
Yeah. The kind of wisdom we get from thinking, because in Buddhism there's three kinds of wisdom. There's Sutamaya Panya, which is, you know, like he's telling you, so it's just secondhand. The second one is our own intelligence. We think about things. We use our logic. That's our thinking. And the third one is experiential wisdom, bhavana, which is like, you know, you observe and then more is understood than you understood before. But if we think while we're trying to observe, the only understanding we get is what we already understand. You cannot get beyond what you understand already.
Experientially understanding it, we are deep. Strong.
Yeah, but the experiential understanding is much stronger, much deeper, and is very different from what we already know.
Who do they? They are doing it. They are doing it. They are doing it. They are doing it.
Now, when we try to understand something intellectually, the only thing we understand is what we already know. We cannot understand beyond that by just using the thinking mind.
When I sit and meditate, I feel like sometimes inside I'm moving, like my body, the movement is kind of moving. It's actually a very nice feeling. There's a little bit of stillness. And yet whenever I sit, I want that same feeling every time.
I love it. 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 I love it.
I love it. I love it.
You have to watch that greed.
I love it. I love it.
Because this is not your goal and movement is concept it's not real if you keep believing this movement and following the movement after a while people look at you from outside and you're doing this because you start following it the goal is to allow wisdom to arise by being mindful Peacefulness is a byproduct. It's the side effect of wisdom. But if we become attached to the peacefulness or the wisdom, it becomes again a hindrance, an obstacle to gaining more wisdom and peacefulness.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yes. I have spent this, but I don't know how to explain well. I can't do my best. When I am meditating, with my eye. Usually all of 5 cents or 4 cents, kind of I can watch it all at the same time, or not really at the same time because it goes so fast, so things like that at the same time.
Okay.
But yeah, I know it's not. With my eyes closed, it seems like my mind is more agitated. So yesterday, when I said, you can meditate with your eye open.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, since the last couple of days, with my eyes open, it seems like my mind is less agitated. And it feels like if you guys were here on the freeway, 91 freeway, or 6 lane become 5 lane, and everything gets stuck. So that's why it seems like my mind, because with my eyes closed, so the object of the sight is not there. So it seems like it's been agitated, and when I open it, it seems like it's opened everything, and it seems like I feel more alert. Is that true or just an illusion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to understand what you're saying a little better. So when you are sitting with your eyes closed and you're agitated, you are knowing all the different objects?
Except the sight.
Except sight. So you know, and are you looking at the objects or you know your awareness?
No, I'm not looking at it. It just comes. Like there's noise coming.
Yeah.
The taste because of saliva.
So because you are knowing many things, does it feel busy?
Not really.
What is that? Is your mind thinking?
Yeah, mind thinking. I'm thinking, and when I open my eyes,
wide
open.
Yeah, so is the thinking quieter? Less thinking?
Siara
says that so when your eyes are closed and you know all the objects and the thinking, it feels busy, but more because maybe you have the wrong attitude. He said with your eyes open, when you have your eyes open, the mind is still thinking, but you see it less, because seeing is
it's
a very,
very
strong
obvious
object. So it takes up so much of the mind's attention that you don't notice the subtle thinking anymore. So you feel like the mind is quieter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's the same as when your eyes are closed.
Okay.
Yeah. The mind doesn't change.
This sight is so obvious.
Yeah.
A lot of personal right is come here. If you open the eye, then you cannot focus on what the body says here. 60% come here already. That's why you cannot know the mind door. Weak. Thinking is in the mind door.
But when my eyes are open, I still notice, aware of the other objects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell me to work. The water I'm on it. Yes, you may. Show.
Say show. Say God. Show that. I'm here now. Show that. I'm here now.
When your eyes are closed and you know all the sensations and the thinking, Siaro says you must not think of this. You must not think of this as agitation.
Because
there's a lot of knowing, there's a lot of awareness.
Oh,
agitation is if in the
here
you feel very uncomfortable. That is agitation. Yes.
Many thinking is not agitation. This is happening. Object only.
So you are aware of a lot of things. So you should be knowing the awareness is a lot.
So with my eyes open, it seems like my sense are more alert.
That's real. Because of light. Because of light, the mind more awake, alert. It's good for awareness. Now, you see, put up.
Yeah. And it's useful to practice with your eyes open for daily life. So the first 6 people have all gone. So anybody else can speak if you want.
No, this was not a question. It was want to make sure my understanding, and you already explained. So
okay,
good.
So I'd like to report my practice. So I'm used to the Bhagita's tradition, so most of my object would be rising, falling. Occasionally at the nostrils, and also occasionally some other sensations in the body, but mostly the rising, falling, and I would let my mind, not anchoring on that only, but just let it go to whatever obvious. So thoughts would arise, I would be aware of thinking, and some of the emotion, joy or peacefulness and arise, and I would observe it, and I would notice that, and notice that it continuing, and not the next moment is still the peace is there, and then it could be lost in thoughts for a while, and then I would be aware of thinking again, and it's back to the calmness and the peace and the joy. And so that's the sitting. And for the walking, I usually just try to be aware of my body moving and the stepping, and then the sense or experience, whatever is most obvious there. It could be seeing, it could be hearing, or skin, feeling cold from the wind, whatever is obvious. And then could be lost in thoughts for a while, and then when it come back, I would be aware of thinking again, and then back to my sense or experience. For daily, beyond the sitting and walking, I try to be mindful of mostly sensory experience of seeing, smelling, tasting, changing posture, getting up and sitting down, and stepping, and using the toilet, and try to be aware as much as possible. Of course, some of the time it's lost in thought, and could be some judging. And as soon as it's there, I'm aware of it, I would be noting it and see that it's gone. And there's not a lot of judging, mostly just neutral, and not a lot of pleasant or unpleasant, mostly neutral, we'll pick away then. The one experience that I a little bit unusual for me, it was... the night before last, I was sleeping, and there was later on I realized it was a dream. I was experiencing someone trying to show, could be like an animal shows or something, and something happened, and he has to redo it again, and finally it's ready to show, and then behind the scene there was someone that leaving a bag there, and someone from the audience would be pointing to it, and the guy behind the scene would come out and grab the bag, so then the show couldn't continue and people left. So I started having the judging mind, aversion, because the person was preventing that from happening. So there was a judging mind there. And then I realized that I was aware of the judging mind.
In the dream.
And then there was, maybe my alarm went off, so that's ended at the time. But I think it's the first time that even in the dream I was aware and noting that aversion is happening.
When you use the word noting, you just mean you're being aware.
Yeah, being
right?
aware.
Okay.
I use noting because in the
Upanishad
tradition, we
word.
Usually note it. So I would be aware of aversion in that moment.
Okay.
And then the dream, I realized it was a dream when I woke up, and it felt calm at that moment. So my question is it possible to be mindful in the dream?
ตัวเนี่ยฮะตัวเนี่ยฮะปกติเนี่ยเส้นหมดแล้วตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก็ปกติเนี่ยตัวก peaceful, quiet joy. So, era kana kana tap pyore. Era tu de chain lung ba joy phin ni la ro ma ti u. Sit is a ka long ara era tap tap pyore.
Oh, pya a yong pyu la. Oh, pya a yong pyu la.
When you sit and you said that, you know, you're sitting and then you keep coming back and then, you know, it's peaceful, quiet and there's joy. Do you observe the joy?
Joy,
are you just enjoying the sitting?
Not enjoy, just being aware of there's a state of calm and peace in it without
why do you
agitation.
Use the word joy?
It feels good. It
feels good.
Joy is quite a strong feeling. I mean, in my understanding, joy is quite a strong, positive feeling.
ยังไม่รู้ตีนี่ดาเนี่ยขันษาน่ะเนี่ยไม่ตูลูกเนี่ยบิคอสทัวร์ขันษาหลุกก้าวเนี่ยだแม้ปิติหลอกเปลี่ยนทางแต่ว่าสุดท้ายเหงิงเนี่ยเลยสิบ่รู้ปิติตะเปลี่ยนเนี่ยผิดเนี่ยเหงิงนี่เหงิงนั้นเนี่ยเฉยผิดผิดล่ะเนี่ยเหงิงเนี่ยเหงิงเนี่ยตมาลิปิตัวล่ะเนาะปิติปัดเนี่ยอันนี้だแม้ปิติผิดแต่เฉยมาเหงิงเนี่ยลุกเปลี่ยนลงไม่ได้หรอกปิติอ่ะผิดนี่ปิติผิดเนี่ยเหงิงนี่ปิติล่ะเนาะ
So it can be described as pity. There's some, several factors that I noticed at that moment, the calmness and pity, and there's mindfulness there because I'm aware of those.
Okay, stay on my own shoe, you know, you get some shoe.
So
just
keep watching the state. You know that this is a state of mind.
Do you want to tell me, Ayoni Pali, no? Ayoni, I'm your idea.
Ayoni, who are the Apiora, but hello, I'm your idea, yellow. Did you say you are aware of your awareness?
I'm not sure I'm aware of my awareness. I'm just aware of the quality of mind in those moments.
Okay. And then.
And then after a while, then I, you know, it's lost in thought again. And then it, when I'm aware of it again, the same state.
You are clearly aware that there is the knowing and there is the object, right?
Not sure.
I'm not sure I was aware of the knowing.
Were aware at that time, but you clearly know that there is a difference between what is known, what you're watching, and that that you are knowing.
I'm not sure.
And he doesn't want you to try to do anything about it. You've heard about it, that's enough. He said, you just practice as usual. Remember, tu zen yama. Tu zen yama ba pyo le so, guna taku pyo.
Lai shao yin ne. Shao yin ne tu san do le gong ti.
Tu ti ra re myai ba, ti re khan za re, ti re era re myai ba, taku tu the pyo re era tu bi lo phan lai de. Aku It's possible It's possible to be aware when you're dreaming, when there's momentum and awareness. Because you've been trying to be aware of
the feeling. And
you've been trying to be aware of thinking mind whenever it's there. Dreams are actually just thoughts. Dreams are thoughts, but when we're asleep. So if you have a habit of recognizing thoughts during your waking hours, then because your mindfulness is also continuous, then when you're not trying to do anything, if it has momentum, it will, like, the awareness will start working by itself. It will kick in. So that's why in your dream, your awareness kind of came in when the judging came, and you're used to noting it, right? Yeah, so that's why it started doing the same thing that it's done during the day.
I'm not aware if the Buddha talk much about dream. Is it any sutta? So I have a question. So my understanding is in the pure moment of mindfulness, there can only be kusala chittas, with it, because when there's a so-called universal wholesome factors present, there's no unwholesome factors can be present at the same time. Is that correct?
We cannot experience that because, like the answer to that lady, we don't experience one mind at a time. We experience trillions of minds at the same time, so it can feel very mixed.
So in theory, that could be that way, but we can...
You can feel sometimes quite pure, you know, because the mind is... But that's just because that's momentum. Seattle says we need to differentiate theory versus practice. In theory, the cosmology explained in very great detail, and is split into tiny moments of mind which we have no access to. So when we practice. So in practice, we don't have that sort of experience, nor are we able to understand it at that level. Only maybe intellectual. He gives the example of the Paticca-samuppada, the cycle of dependent origination. There are, I think, 12 links to the chain, right? But reality is such that reality is not linear. Reality arises together and passes away together. So... what happens with the theory of dependent origination is explained that this causes this. This is the cause, is the effect. Then this is the cause, that's the effect. But in reality, what happens is the moment there's delusion, that cycle is all arises together and is, you know. So the moment you change the view, it goes from delusion and changes from avidya to vidya, which is panya, which is right view. Instantly, that whole circle is different. A different set of conditions giving rise to a different set of effects arising together.
So on the same.
So right now, Seattle says we have trillions of minds arising. We can feel a mix of wholesome and unwholesome in our minds. Seattle says what we're trying to do is build the wholesome. So we're aware so that it allows the wholesome to keep growing in the mind, to keep arising in the mind over and over. And the more the mind is filled with wholesome, the less the mind will be filled with unwholesome. So Seattle gives the example of a water filter for wisdom. So Seattle says if there's a pipe and water is flowing through, and if we don't have a filter, Seattle says then then water and dirt and bacteria, everything comes through the pipe. But he says if we have a filter in, he says depending on the size of the filter, so if you have a gross, quite a low-level filter, you still have the water flowing through, right? The good, even with the bad, initially. But now you put a filter in, maybe less of the bad goes in, so a little bit of wisdom. So you have water, the good, and a little bit of bad. And the stronger the better the filter becomes, the purer the water becomes until it's drinkable, isn't it?
So side I'll talk about is paticca samuppada. So again, in theory, only at the vedana it can be terminated.
You cannot go into that cycle because the cycle is done when delusion is present.
So practically speaking, any part can be, doesn't have to be vedana only.
No, practically speaking, it's just a delusion. It's delusion just delusion or wisdom.
Or understanding.
Yeah, so the view.
Then this cycle change.
Yeah, so you just have to change.
Wait, now you cannot involve the way that's so quick.
Yeah, you cannot change it at any point. Yeah. It's only at the vidya, avidya, yeah.
But you can see this process maybe, if it depends on your wisdom, very strong. You can see, but you cannot stop.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have a little problem with this mindfulness, that be mindfulness, that means be aware. And what I'm saying is that, is it you feel your existence, then you are mindful, or it's different than feeling the existence?
No. Well, the dhitara, mindfulness pita, ko shirao tirala, bao the dhitara.
The kheti lo ya reha wa tiro ya. Taya experience tiro ya re, the bodhya wa tiro ya, the dhitara ya. Chana tuye bima po lo ya, and tenya bima tiro ya reha.
Yeah, mindfulness is only what you can experience directly. So, for example, you touch yourself, you can feel that sensation.
Direct
you
experience.
Hear, you know, there's hearing. You taste something. It's just a taste. It's not the thing you eat. You smell. You can. It's the smell itself, not the rose. You know, everything else we have to think about to know. But what we can experience directly, we feel, we sense. That is what we can be mindful of.
But mindfulness,
So initially, like say you just take a touching sensation. We pay attention to the sensation and we feel it, but there's also some sense of concept involved, like we have an image of the leg, the feeling, the place, how large the area you feel. So we have some concepts involved. It doesn't matter. We try to pay as much attention as possible to the sensation. See, this is when we are mindful continuously like this, at some point when we have an insight, that allows us to see the true nature of the reality. And although we don't get rid of concepts, we can see clearly what is real versus what is like our perception, our.
Upama, purao ti, purao ti lo ya na. Tu ayong lo na le. Ayong lo na le na tu na le lo ya. Ja xiang xi.
So he gives another example. Say you know a temperature, like heat. Okay, we can know heat. Heat is something we sense, and because heat is difficult to give a shape, color, and all that, it's much more closer to reality, just the sense of it. But Seattle says to also understand that what we are knowing is an object, that it's just that. That's another level of understanding.
Object. Understanding of objects.
Yeah. That is a principle. You're understanding a principle that everything that's being known is just an object. That you cannot show, but it's the reality of the nature of that object, is that if it's being known, it has become an object. That is.
But if there is no object, there also there is awareness. That's what I feel.
No.
There is no
object.
If there is mind, there is object. The mind is always knowing something.
Every mind, they have their own object.
Every consciousness is a consciousness that arises because it is conscious of something.
So awareness cannot be by itself.
No.
It's been different settling into retreat here because it's a different environment and we have to interact with the staff and the people in a using words and things like that.
And then settle down people.
And it's, for me, very clear what needs to be said and what isn't necessary. And I found that the talking, in my observation from myself, the talking amongst the group freaks me out. And the talking amongst the other groups of people that are here, I have, it just is. It just has, there's no judgment, there's nothing that comes up. So it's been interesting to sort of observe how that is and my sense of it, and to kind of come to the conclusion that it's sort of like the spider and the fly. The spider's going to eat the fly in his web, and you can't save the spider and you can't save the fly. Like, it's just nature doing what it does. And so to sort of step away. And then I've tried
to hold the matu to dread up. Hello, Lure, Sue is a gap, you're in two pan near a swing, two to a young Lanzia pit there, but so to a two second machine. Bama take Yosia below, Yosia, Lotin, Yotina, Matina, two second machine, or to a Matinari, Colo, Shop Yon, or to a lane, damn it. Who to never sign it or suit, the Chalu, Yon in a swing, two second bam up here, two Nella sign him up.
I did define low later.
Yeah, this is because you mentioned how when, you know, there's talking in your group, it freaks you out, right? He says, and it's because there's more identification with the group that's, you know, concerned with me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's some other group, it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like nature to me, like
Bingu,
If
you can see that sense of identification,
then
you can step back from that moment too.
Right. Well,
yeah.
That's what I found as the days sort of progressed between kind of spending time privately in my room where it's definitely quiet, and then kind of pushing myself to come back into the more main spaces and observe how I react. And as the days go on, it sort of becomes less and just like nature, just the same nature, regardless of the group. Although there's a part of me that feels sorry for the people speaking. I kind of like the fly, like I feel badly for the people speaking, because I feel like they're missing
this
sort of precious time.
Sierra says that's because you're thinking about the people who are talking. If you just paid attention to yourself, then yeah, you will forget about them too.
Yeah.
He likes that you challenge yourself to be in the main spaces,
right,
and slowly try to watch the mind, because he says if we only seek solitude to calm the mind, Sierra says, then we are completely helpless when there is no solitude. It's better to be, he says, real samadhi is when the outside does not affect our inside. That because we are strong on the inside, that we are unfazed by what happens outside.
So good, he said, go
often into those spaces which are disturbing and just watch your mind a lot. He says, quiet on our own. He doesn't have to help you.
That is aversion, which means you like something and you don't like something.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. If we like something, then we will not like
that
something.
That means you don't like something.
And then I just have a question about one way of seeing delusion, since I usually have these sort of vivid images.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it kind of came as I was thinking about it today was that our minds are kind of the factory of misinterpretations, and depending on on how aware we are kind of depends on how quickly the assembly line starts running or how slowly it keeps going, but it seems that it
maybe not awareness,
going.
Maybe wisdom.
And then I think the delusion's roots are in the defilements.
The defilement's roots are in the delusion.
Yes, sorry, backwards, yeah. The defilement's roots are in the delusion, and then kind of the only, I don't want to say escape, but or way out, I don't know another way to say it, but it's sort of the vigilant awareness, kind of bringing a vigilance to the awareness back, coming back and coming back and coming back.
Well, Björn, Sika, say you, but say you, Mesra, wrong you to Chino, told me, say you. Do I mean, pin it out, what? I mean, man, it was interpretation loaner. I mean, man, it was loaner. And Roddy, did he say you are called the dish she the law? To the dimia, it was an ethnic, the deep name, to a man, a loaner, the deep pitcher, I mean, yam,
papa, we were yam, tip,
we must not discount the fact that it's wisdom that helps. Okay? Awareness is like a
recognize
a little bit. Yes. Awareness is like a little helpless tool through which wisdom can work. All awareness does is recognize. It does nothing else. It cannot help you to understand. It cannot help you to get
your defilements.
Yeah, so in the Satipatthana Sutta, they talk about the Sati Sampajanya. And it's translated as clear comprehension. But the Sampajanya bit is the wisdom. It's Sati and clarity. The clarity is the wisdom. And it's the wisdom that helps us. Awareness is just the tool, it's like the key that opens the lock so that all those other wholesome states can enter. So the deepo po tama lu tu tena de bibra nya lu
tama po tama ne ai nyan nyan pa la bu nya understanding grow phit la bu
because you said that you feel like you have to be more and more vigilant, he wants you to understand that it's wisdom that helps the vigilance to see more or be more discerning and so on.
Yeah, phi ong luk tat bu yee chi de ba. Eh, ta chat pwet thaw de naw bai nyae du luk tat lan me, belo lo myan pwet le so. A tin tha de ya ma lo do ne. Ta le pyo okay.
A shin mu ya.
Okay.
You have to build momentum in awareness so that wisdom can keep arising.
I think that's what I meant by vigilant, more the
continuity, interest.
There's a lot going on, but I just want to take one snippet of my practice. In my life, I notice of the six sense stories, there's a lot less awareness with the seeing. And Sayadaw has been pointing that out for a long time already. So this particular retreat, I've been bringing more interest and more even contemplation around being aware of seeing. And so reminding myself to awareness of seeing. And so there were two examples I wanted to point out to see the difference of the mind that can be aware of seeing. That's different from just noting seeing or just seeing. So I was sitting watching the snow falling down. And so there was the seeing, the impingement of all of that hitting the eye door. It wasn't so much into the object, it was more in the fact of seeing. So seeing, seeing. And then a moment of realization to be aware of seeing. It was just a slight turning of the mind, awareness of seeing. That felt palpably different than just that moment of seeing, which was too relaxed in a way. But the awareness of seeing had a little more vigilance and a little more power to it. It's the only way I can explain it. So it was a very clear moment of seeing the difference of being so relaxed in the receptivity of seeing, mm-hmm. almost to the point where I could see the pleasantness of, you know, falling mm-hmm. snow, and mm-hmm. that it felt just so going on the pleasant side. Mm-hmm. And then the vigilance that came up with awareness of seeing. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing, and then I have another example. And then, in addition to that, in just the relaxation around the receptivity of seeing, there was the noticing of pleasant, and the mind would start remembering with lost in thought, with that, it was too relaxed, lost in thought about when I saw the snow before, and how long will it continue. So all of these things could be known, but it wasn't as pristine and clear as like the awareness of seeing. It felt more protected somehow. Yeah. So with this just the fact of seeing, it felt like it wasn't as protected, and there were a lot of wandering. There was a lot of wandering mind.
When you're not aware of seeing.
When there was not that extra vigilance of awareness.
Yes.
And then there was another really more interesting one was yesterday when the dessert was put on the table. And before I came, I made the adhitana that I was gonna practice some renunciation, and I won't have dessert in this retreat. So let's see if it works.
Yeah, maybe it won't work.
Okay. So then the lady came and she put the dessert on the table, and then I went, oh, seeing.
What was the dessert?
But in that seeing, you know, I thought I was really seeing, but really it was like wanting. You know, it was clearly there. Wanting was clearly there. And then there was that remembrance to put awareness. Mm. And when the awareness came up, because always contemplating about Bring more awareness, when the awareness came up, it was like absolutely more protection. Mm. And I could really feel that the wanting was like, it wasn't impinging the mind so much.
Wow. To awareness ka win la ro. Po se ko ka kwe mu pe de lo ba re. Era so yin. Era po lo ba yi ya. Taip ro ko win. Ma lo nai no. Dama era tadi mo hok do nyan phit
da. E po tadi o chi lo.
Awareness with wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yes. Yes. Doesn't want wisdom us to forget wisdom.
So remember the renunciation. So I could see how we can fool ourselves into thinking that, oh, just seeing. Like when you go in the store, you know, and oh, just seeing. And before you know it, you're picking up that thing and you're going to buy it already. So that I really saw in those moments, it was small, but it was powerful for me. The difference between the receptivity of seeing and the moment of awareness.
Sierra says we should not discount those little bits, those little moments, because that little moment could be a moment, the moment that you get enlightened. You just need a moment to get enlightened.
The sense of shit, I know, yo-yo-li.
The
objects are so simple, Sierra says.
It's only the smell and taste and sensation, that's it.
But the understanding changes. Yeah. So having these little insights is very important.
Little insight are the powerful
bit. Yeah. When these little insights become a powerful insight.
Take time, so. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to wait long. Just a moment.
Just a moment. Right.
Yes.
Okay, good. Any good report?
Sadhguru said that we could practice anywhere we want. So I discovered that when I was in the Dharma Hall, I tend to go back to the habit of the mind, which is pulled right into feeling the tightness in the body.
Mm.
And even though, you know, I opened the eyes and I looked at the sky, and I was aware that the sight, I was aware of the sounds, but most predominantly, it's awareness of the sensations. And there was strong aversion. So I.
Why do you have tightness in the body?
It's always there, you know, the shoulders and neck.
Okay, even when you're not sitting.
No.
Okay.
What do you mean not sitting?
So even like now, you have the same tension?
No, I think people say that's arthritis. I don't know if it's true.
Arthritis. Okay.
Yeah. So yesterday I decided not to sit in the Dharma Hall. I just sat in the sitting area, in the main lodge, and I discovered that even though the mind habit still went right into the tightness, and because there's aversion, want to get rid of it, but still because there's so much space, it's much more spacious.
Mm.
So I was still aware of seeing and the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that if I was in the Dharma Hall, even though I opened the eyes, there was the pull is so strong that after a while, even though I bring in my attitude like you, but still, you know, there's strong aversion of getting rid of that tightness.
The aversion is magnified in the Dharma Hall.
Right. So when I was sitting in the sitting area, you know, I just said to myself, so what, let's make an experiment. Just go into it. Just let it totally experience tightness.
Mm. Mm.
And when I accepted that, I guess it was acceptance. Mm. I didn't try to push it away.
Mm.
I was, you know, after a while, the awareness changed to being aware of seeing and everything else. And I'm still aware of the sensation in the body, but it's much more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly there was a sense of sitting back, and it's just receptivity, aware, without searching, without searching of, you know, of the objects.
Mm.
So my question is that, it feel like for several hours, I wasn't pulled into the tightness anymore. I was just aware of this and that, and it was.
Did you notice whether there was any more aversion at that
moment? No, there was a sense of ease.
Okay.
Because it was not. It wasn't doing anything.
Right.
It was just acceptance. And then once in a while I would check back, it's like, is it, am I enjoying it? Am I wallowing the experience? I feel like there's not that.
Mm-hmm.
So today should I go back to the Dharma Hall sitting and
ตัวมายูนะมาเตมุชิเดเตนน่ะชิเดยอกาจังธรรมายูนะมาถ่ายโปโซเดโหตัวโปมะเนเดโหไม่ไฉ่แต่สิกโหสิกก็เลยดีเตนเนี่ยชิโหคณะๆหยอกเดก้าวหยอกตาหมอไม่ไฉ่โลหยอกตาไอ้ไม่ไฉ่ตาก็เลยชุมาสวยแล้วเปี้ยนเนี่ยเด้เปี้ยนถ่านเนี่ยเด้ธรรมายูนะมาสวยอะแล้วมะเนี่ยตัวตัวทะชินพะถ่ายจินเนี่ยถ่ายสวยตัวดีดีน้ามาโหถ่ายกုံนี่ชิเดไอ้มาโซฟามาตัวถ่ายไปแล้ว ေးစစ်စစ်ထိုင်ပြီးတော့အဲ့တိုင်းပဲတွားတာပဲမကောင်းတွားတာပေါ့မကြိုက်လို့တွား
တယ်ဒီလာနဲ့ तू ကဒီရောက်မှာပ
ဲအဲ့အချိန်မှာ तू ကတမျိုးစဉ်းစားလိုက်တယ်တဲ့ကဲဖြစ်ချင်တာဖြစ်လက်ခံလိုက်ပြီးခိုးနာကျင်နာအပြစ်ခံစားလိုက်တယ်ဆိုပြီးတော့ तू
လွတ်ပေးလိုက
်အဲ့လွတ်ပေးလိုက်တော့တဲ့ခဏလေးပဲတဲ့ခဏလေးပဲစစ်ကအဲ့နာရဲရှိမရောက်တော့ဘူးတဲ့မြင်နာတွေကြားတာတွေရှိရောက်သွားတော့တဲ့အဲ့ဒီဟာသိရင်တဲ့တပြည့်မေးတယ်အဲ့မကြိုက်တာရှိသေးလားသတိထားမိလားတပြည့်မကြိုက်တာမရှိတော့စိတ်ထက်မှာတက်တာတယ်နောက်ပြီးတော့တိရတာလုံးယူရတာမဟုတ်ဖ ೇನೆ
တဘာဝ
तू ကလက်ခံပြီးတိနေရတယ်လို့ပဲ
အဲ့ဒီသူကအဲ့ဒီသူ
နောက်ပြီးတော့ခံစားနေလားဟိုငိမ့်နေလားဆိုတော့လေအဲ့လိုလည်းမဟုတ်တိနေတယ် तू နိုင်ပိုင်းငိမ့် तू လုံးအဲ့ဒီကဓမ္မယုံသွားပြန်ဆန်းကြည့်ရမလား
ညောင်းနေချက်တော့မလုပ
် Don't go to the Dhamma hall with hopes.If you want to try the Dhamma hall again, go very simple, with a very simple
attitude.
Don't go there with the hope that you can recreate what you experienced yesterday in the main lodge.
Oh no, it was more like...
Okay,
yeah. If you're just going to challenge, yeah.
Yeah, you can try. Challenge is okay.
Yeah. Go, challenge them as well,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Experiment. Experiment is good.
ဘာလို့ဓမ္မယုံနဲ့ဒီအပြင်းဟာအဓိကမှာမဟုတ်အရေးကြီးတဲ့ attitude ပဲ
Yeah because it's not the Dhamma hall and it's not the main lodge it's our attitude
အဲ့ဒီမှာအဲ့လိုဖြစ်ချင်တာဖြစ်လို့တွေးတဲ့အချိန်မှာရှိတဲ့ဉာဏ်မျို
း Yeah
အဲ့အရေးကြီးတယ
် So if you think about what did your mind what was going through your mind when you said I'll just let the mind experience it fully you know that acceptance what came with it what understanding
yeah ညာညောက်ဖြစ်သွားတာ तू ညာညောက်ဖြစ်သွားတာဆိုတော့ तू ကဟိုဘာလဲလုတ်ကြည့်တယ်မရတဲ့အဆုံးတော့ तू ကြည့်သွားလေအဲ့လိုပဲဒီလိုဒါဆိုဒီတိုင်းဆိုစိတ်ကဒီတိုင်းဖြစ်နေမှာ तू အဲ့တော့မှသဘောပေါက်လို့ तू လွတ်လိုက်တာ
yeah
ညာသဘောပေါက်တော့မှ तू ကအဲ့အတွေးဝင်လာ
so the mind sort of has understood that you know you've tried everything and it's not been working so your mind decided let's try something else so that's the understanding let's try something elseAnd you give in totally, you surrender, and then, yeah, the right attitude came in.
I don't know whether it's a really great position in the person, but in life, sometimes like, I'm aware, our mind is aware, in discussion with somebody,that say something that doesn't, that I, you know, kind of dislike. So I realize that, I'm aware that I dislike. And I can see that the anger starting coming. Why? It got violent.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I want to stop at that. So let we have an outburst.
So that it will not.
So it will not be an outburst. But I cannot help it. So what should I do?
တရားရောင်းနေစကားပြောနေသူကကိုမချိုက်တဲ့ဟာကိုပြောနေဆိုရင်သူကဒေါသတက်နေမှတိတယ်လေ။ဒေါသတက်နေမှပြီးတော့ဒေါသကိုရချင်တယ်လေ။ဒ
ါမှမဟုတ်ပြတိကြ။အဲ့
တော့ပေါက်ခွဲချင်ဦးတယ်ဒါမှမတက်နိုင်ပေါက်ခွဲတယ်လို့ပေါက
်ခွဲ။ဟာမလို့ကျိုးသားမရှိဘူး
He's
This is a very challenging.
So from He says, you must try. From the time your anger is very small, you must watch.
Yeah.
You don't listen to that person anymore. You don't listen anymore. You watch this one. You don't put your attention to that person and what they are saying. It doesn't matter. You don't like it anyway, so why listen?
So
the mind hears you. You don't have to pay attention. You're looking, but your mind is like, small anger.You just know that. So then, because the anger is still small, your mindfulness more power. So you can.
Okay.
If the anger becomes too big, then you cannot. Then it outbursts. Yeah.
Okay. Concept of the energy, go sick up. The concept of what I do, like nature, what I do.
Yeah. So very important. You see the concept, you don't like the concept, you don't pay attention to it. Go to the nature, the feeling.If we think of people, the story, the defilement will grow, the unwholesome mind will grow.
Defilement will grow, you will grow, you will grow, you will grow.
But if we're looking at the feeling, whether it's from the unwholesome state or the defilement, when we look at the feeling, that's real. That's nature, right? It's not a person, it's not a thing. That's nature. So you just look at the feeling, and that's easier to handle. When it's
Change object. Not concept object, the nature object, right?
This person is helping you to become a better person.
More mature.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
It's your parami co, what do you call it? The person who supports the fulfillment of your paramis.
Okay, nobody, anything else? We need to stop. Anything else?
Did you record it?
No, I'm not recording this. I'm watching the movie. Hello. So see you next time.